A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Paul Gallant.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
The most interactive sports radio show in Houston.
Paul, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the devastation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
Testing 1 2 1 2. Does my voice work? It does. Neato. Splendid. Wonderful. Happy Tuesday, the worst day of the week, June 27th of 2023. I am Paul Gallant. This is the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. One you can jump aboard by calling or texting in at 713-780-3776 on the HRNP listener line. You can join us on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975, or on Twitter at Gallant Says, at ESPN975, at Sean A. Mapes behind the glass. Sean held down the fort for me over the last three shows. Thursday and Friday, I was out because I went to a wedding in D.C. Monday, I was out because it took so long to get back from the wedding because D.C.'s airport, I guess, control tower caught on fire. On top of that, Chicago just got hit with a deluge of planes all at the same time. So my flight back to Houston, I did not get home until 7 in the morning yesterday. And I thought to myself, am I going to Mike Francesa this during the show? Am I going to fall asleep? We had Patrick on standby yesterday just in case, because I wasn't sure I was even going to get home. I get back and I'm like, yep, I can't even talk. So we're going to let Patrick take over. Sean, how are things? Nothing broke. No one said anything crazy, right? We're good.
No. I thought those were some of the best shows we've had in a long time. I'm glad you're back. I even texted you this. As much as I would have wanted sleep deprived Paul, who may have been checked in and out of the sports goings on this weekend, coming off of maybe an hour of sleep and then back at the station, I think it was best probably for your long-term and short-term health to out of an abundance of caution.
Thank you.
Take yesterday
I mean,
off.
Basically, Sean's calling me a pussy without actually saying
no,
it.
No, you load manage. That's fine. You load manage. That's what all the stars are doing these days. So, some people show up every day to work.
I don't feel guilty about taking vacation days, but I do feel guilty about taking sick days. And that essentially was a sick day yesterday. But it wasn't really like a great sick day to call out on. Whatever,
Kawhi
guys.
Gallant.
Yep. Kawhi Gallant. Yeah. You know what? We might be out of vacation days already. So that's going to be really awkward when I take 7 days off in a couple of weeks. But hey, guys, welcome aboard. It's good to be back. I was at a wedding for one of my best friends in Washington, D.C. It was ridiculously over the top in every way imaginable. We'll tell you some of the details that went down over the course of the weekend, including a fight that I nearly got into, among many other things. I know. It's on brand, right? It's on brand.
It's not a long weekend with Paul until he almost gets in a fight.
Yep. Wasn't my fault.
It never is.
So, there's a friend that went to this wedding who is a Dodgers fan. And the entirety of the weekend, this Dodgers fan friend of ours, good guy, Darren, has this rule that whenever all of us are in mass, Astros-Dodgers talk is embargoed. So we stayed away from the series. But when I got to the airport on Sunday, thinking I actually would be back at a reasonable time, I thought to myself, okay, let's see what the hell happened over the course of the weekend. Friday, Saturday, there's a balk. And hey, they won on Sunday, but guess what? It's the same thing. It's Rafael Montero getting absolutely bombed in an inning, and the Astros are able to win it in extra innings. So LA takes 2-3. The Astros have the St. Louis Cardinals next. Cardinals are underachieving. Astros are underachieving. A thought, and this is not me saying it's not possible. I am curious as to how many people still think the Astros will win the World Series. This is not a matter of could they. Of course they could. They have been to the ALCS six straight years. They've been to four of the last six World Series. They've won two of them. Right now, Gun to your head. Yes or no? They go into the World Series.
It's too early to tell, Paul.
You can't do that. This is gut reaction. This is in the moment. This is how we live. This day, June 27th of 2023. Coming out of that weekend, I'll be honest, I think it's not going to happen.
Coming off the Red Series, in the I was like, ugh.
This is the weekend, though, where I watched it and I thought, they still played well, in part. Their offense was better on Saturday and on Sunday than it has been a lot of this year. But it's just the same stuff. I saw a couple of people bitching and moaning about this online about what conversation about the Astros has become. And it's the same story every day, right? It's, hey, Dusty's lineup. What did he do? What did he do this time? Did Martin Maldonado play?
What? Chaz McCormick's hitting seventh?
Right.
He should be hitting sixth.
Does Dusty have an axe to grind with Chaz McCormick? It's either a lineup thing. It's about Montero crapping himself. Maybe it's about Nick Scherfield, former Texans reporter, or Mark Berman, Mark Berman's grandkid, being at the Dodgers game, sitting in the bleachers, and we're wondering, are they going to be able to make it out alive? It's possibly bad calls. I'm just going to be honest. I know everyone wanted to have a take on this. I don't know if that was a balk. I don't know. I really don't. He moved his leg, pitched the bleeping ball. You're Ryan Stanek, dude. If you take longer, it's not going to help you. But at the same time, maybe it wasn't. Everyone seemed to hate the call. That's where I'm at. I don't think anyone knows what a balk is. So I'm supposed to have a take on that. It's bad calls. It's Maldonado. It's the lineup. It's Rafael Montero. It's Michael Brantley updates. He's weeks away now? Or is he a week away? I don't effing know. There's cheating accusations. Apparently Corey Jolks had a cell phone. And the Dodgers, at least one Dodgers fan's like, what are they doing? They're cheating. I got And this is what it's become. So it's repeat conversations every single day. So we may as well have the most big picture conversation that you can have. Yes or no? They're going to win it. And right now I'm like, I don't think so. Paul, really going out on a limb there. You're saying a team in a sport that has 29 other teams, that has wide open playoffs, you're saying a team's not going to win a championship? Yeah. But I want to hear reasons as to why they can do it, other than they've done it before. I need some help. I am wavering. I don't like wavering when it comes to this team. I don't. But you look at the offense. I mean, the power numbers aren't there. 15th in home runs, 17th in slugging. Yordan Alvarez has gone a while. How much of an impact is he really going to have when he gets back? We're among friends here. Is it going to be significant? I mean, obviously, he's one of the best hitters in baseball, if not the best hitter in baseball. Some are going to make that argument. But if he returns, is that going to make everything A-okay? So that's where I'm at coming out of that weekend. They didn't play poorly. They could have won on Saturday. They barely won on Sunday, but they did. I'm looking at them and I'm like, God, when is this going to feel a little bit easier? If anything, they're still in playoff contention, though not if the season were to end today. Are they going to do it? Twitch.tv/ESPN975, some comments. Todd, the show says they are playing 500 baseball. Yeah. OG from H-Town. And this is what a lot of conversation has been over the last couple of days as well. I've seen Fire Dusty comments and statements and long paragraphs that are too long for me to read. And God forbid I defend Dusty Baker here, but this is not Dusty's problem. They aren't hitting. I'm going to keep going back to that. This isn't a defense. There are things that Dusty does that frustrates all of us. But, I mean, they're not effing hitting. And Michael Brantley, when's he going to be back? Jose Abreu, you got to play him when you're paying him that much money. And at the very least, he's being somewhat productive. More productive than he was the first couple of months of the year. This isn't about blaming somebody. This is more about, okay, are they going to win it all? And then, if we get closer and closer to the playoffs and the Astros are around here, are you guys still going to want to hear about it? Are you guys still going to want to bitch about it? Are you guys still going to be checked in? because we've all gotten a little bit spoiled. No doubt about it. There's nothing wrong with being a spoiled sports fan. You have higher expectations. Once you've actually won the World Series, you're expecting it. Once you've ever gotten laid in your life, you're hoping for more of it. Like, this is just how it works. Once it's happened, it's not special anymore. You just want it all the time. And I don't know if you're going to get it this year. I'm just not feeling it. And I know. Grand statement, Paul. Wow, welcome back. You're just being a rain cloud of negativity, and you're not even giving a concrete take. I know! I'm too chicken bleep to actually say they're not going to do it. But that's where I'm at. I'm like, it's not going to happen, is it? Just doesn't feel that way right now. Twitch.tv/ESPN975. You can jump aboard that way. You can also text in 713-780-3776 to call in or text in. I know it's a really basic question. Classic June baseball conversation. June 27th of 2023. Astros winning the World Series. Yes or no? You can text in as well. Acalon says, at Sean A. Mapes, behind the glass. Coming up next, you get to answer that. Keep you posted on what's going on in the American League West. And since we're in the summer months, how much money would you pay to watch these two people fight? And you know what two people I'm talking about. This might be the biggest fight ever, which is maybe a sad reflection on fighting these days, but I think I'd pay pay-per-view for this one. I wouldn't even go to a bar for it. I'll tell you what I'm talking about next.
Welcome back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's your host, former Shorecrest Preparatory All-District Safety, Paul Gallant.
Glad Spencer didn't laugh at me there. Wow, that's a great liner. Thank you. Finally, some credibility attached to my name. High school football, lowest level of Florida, legend, Paul Gallant. Some comments in the last segment. I opened up the show with a rather bombastic way to come back from a wedding in D.C. saying, I don't think the Astros are going to win the World Series right now. Some comments. Pinche's at least trying to get me to hold the line. Never say never, Pauly. Only you would think it's over. Never underestimate the heart of a champion. It's not even the All-Star break, and Pauly already bunching his G-string. I don't know how people wear those. I don't. I feel like just be constantly annoying to have floss in your crack. But hey, ladies, we love them. Thank you. Another comment. This is from Larry Footsack on Twitter. For the first time in a while, at Gallant says, she tweets, I feel like I can comfortably make vacation plans in October. What a bougie fan comment. I love it. I mean, this is what we all get to do. We can say, yeah, you know what? I can finally do Oktoberfest because I don't have to worry about a World Series game.
Was there ever a Patriots season for you where, like, you're just like, yeah, nope, just doesn't have it?
20 years, you're right, Sean, where, oh, well, there's 20 years where I was like, well, it's going to happen every single year years.
In that dynasty run, there's never, like, a week 10 where you're like,
nope, nope.
Wow.
Not once. 2009, I wavered, and then I should have been more, whoa, they suck, because then they got their doors blown off in the first round of the playoffs by the Ravens. But that was something I still didn't feel. Because I remember there was one game I went to when I was 14 years old. I left with 2.5 minutes to go. The Patriots were down, I think, 11 to the Miami Dolphins and Ricky Williams. And they came back and they won. And I was like, okay, constant faith in my Lord and Savior, Tom Brady. But right now with the Astros, it's the same team and everything feels different. It's weird. And plenty of season left. They can turn it around. This is not me ruling out the possibility. I'm just like, if you're asking me right now, yes or no, I'm saying no. Right now, no. And we'll see. I mean, things could potentially get better, but I thought Mega made a pretty good point here. This is what happens when you don't have a plethora of starting pitching. A historic bullpen performance that you had in the playoffs, that's not happening the same way that it did last year. And king of all twitches, the lineup is not scaring anyone, and pitchers are attacking the zone against them. Yeah, who in that lineup scares you right now? Theoretically, Bregman does, but theoretically, Kyle Tucker does, but Jose Altuve does. But it's not like Jose Altuve's killing it either. That's the problem right now. And again, long season, things can change. But none of it's working. The injuries feel like much bigger obstacles than they've been in years past. And you don't even know when the guys that are injured are going to come back because the Astros are so vague with the injury reports. Honestly, being truthful might be welcome, a welcome change of pace if you're an Astros fan, because maybe you want to put a timeline on when things are going to figure themselves out. The good news is, though, I mean, even though they've lost 7 of their last 10 and aren't playing great, the AL West is still pretty much the same as it was when I left. You have the Texas Rangers just 5 games up on them. You have the Los Angeles Angels 5 games up on them. The Angels outscored Colorado over the weekend by 25 runs, and they lost that series. So they're having the same problem as the Astros when you can't score too many runs in one game. I think they had like 27, was it 28 in one game or something like that? It's ridiculous, whatever it was. Anyway, the good news is you're still within striking distance. You do need to, I think, this team specifically, they need to win the division. They have to, for a chance to get there. I think with the wild card, the way that it is, they go into the divisional series where they've used a bunch of their arms, they're tired. Like that's just asking for disaster. It's not a matter of home field advantage. It's just you really need every edge you can get.
And talking about the plethora of starting pitching that they don't have this year, I mean, again, like, Luis Garcia pitched, what, once last year's playoffs? Urquidy didn't pitch.
Right.
And now they are big losses to this team because they also lost Verlander. Mm-hmm. And so there is just a...
Yes.
It is. Like, they're just not as good. They're just not
right,
as good.
Like,
I feel like sometimes, like, we get a little too, like, in the weeds about, like, why a team is winning and losing. I think... At this point of the season, they're just not as good as they were last year.
We're 3 months in.
Just they're not as good. The guys that are on last year's team are not playing up to their standard, or most of them aren't playing up to their standard. And then the guys that are new either are disappointed, Jose Abreu, or are just
new money Montero. New guy.
I mean, yeah, exactly. He's a new guy. Rich Montero is a new
Rich
guy.
Rich Montero, not a good player. Who would have thought?
Yeah, but even like the Belaks and the Blancos haven't been, you know, anything to
Let me tell you
write
about
home
the
about.
Belaks and the Blancos. It's bad. That's what it is.
You want to talk to your kids about the Belaks and the Blancos?
Right. That's the new sex talk with your kids. Let me tell you about the Belaks and the Blancos. Look, you're probably going to be disappointing the first time you do it. Just like those guys are probably going to be disappointing more often than not when they're on the mound. That's how it goes, kids.
And then Hunter Brown and JP France have both been solid, but they have gotten basically no run support. They haven't been like superstars.
I mean, Framber Valdez has been great this year, and he's got like 5-6 losses on the season.
Yeah, Framber and Javier have both been like good.
They have. So we'll see how it goes. I was in D.C. this weekend for a wedding. I got home so late yesterday that I just didn't have it. So I was like, all right, Patrick, you got me. Patrick took over. And I know Patrick was talking about all the things that took place in great detail over the weekend. I'm telling you the basic thing that I take away from it. It just doesn't feel like they're going to win the World Series this year. There is a possible fight that is coming to televisions near you. Hasn't been locked up. And I don't know if this is an elaborate troll, because one of the people involved is the biggest of online trolls in the world. But sounds like we're going to see a fight between Mark Zuckerberg of Meta / Facebook. Is it Facebook again? And Elon Musk of Twitter / Tesla. Chael Sonnen is a former mixed martial art fighter. He was on with Ariel Helwani, talking about a phone call that he had with Mark Zuckerberg about UFC 300.
I didn't know you had news.
Zuckerberg.
Oh, Jesus.
Zuckerberg contacts me because he saw your tweet that I'm coming on.
Oh, my God.
Zuckerberg has told me that he has agreed to fight Elon Musk at UFC 300, and it was a very big deal. He kept bringing up like the date and the, because Elon could never say he doesn't have something to do. He could never say that he was busy. So what do you want me to do with this? Why don't you call in? Why don't you just call in? He said, you tell Ariel. Ariel knows how to get a hold of my people. That's what he said. I delivered the message.
Is this true? Is this a shoot?
That just happened. Ethan is my witness. My son, Thero, my dog, Duke.
Look, he swore on his dog. Okay, so I know a lot of people aren't familiar with white culture. When you swear on your doggo, that's when stuff's real. Because dogs are the new children, per a lot of yuppie whites like myself. Anyway, that is the Zuckerberg side of it. Zuckerberg seems like someone who really wants to show off that he has worked out since college. And look, a lot of people are like that. I'm like that a little bit. A little bit. But Mark Zuckerberg wants everyone to believe that he is a jujitsu badass. He has shown lots of videos of it. Maybe he is. I'm sure he would beat me because I don't know what the hell I'm doing, even though he's about 5 inches shorter than me. Elon Musk, though, and we know he's the biggest troll in the world. He bought Twitter essentially as a troll move and then wasn't able to back his way out of it. He agreed to begin training with UFC Hall of Famer George St. Pierre. It was done through Twitter, and I have no idea if Twitter agreements are binding. So you could have two of the richest men in the world fighting. And a couple of people are saying, twitch.tv/ESPN975, Day One Donna, who would watch that? E315, this is the dumbest thing ever. Double Rods, this is not going to happen. I mean,
can I say that I agree with all those things?
But you'll still watch.
But if it happens, I will watch. Of course I'll watch. It's two of the richest people in the world in a cage match for basically no reason.
None. There's no reason unless they have some sort of beef that we don't know about.
And it's the classic, like, Mark or Zuckerberg is listed at, and these are more unreliable than NBA and NFL height weights, but he's listed at 5'7", 154. And then Elon Musk is 6'1", and then such a wide, 185 to 200.
He's a fatty boom baddie. Yeah, Elon Musk is I've seen a picture of the man shirtless. It was pretty gross. Yes. This guy, I don't feel great about Elon's chances in this at all, regardless of Zuckerberg's size.
Yes, I was going to say, is the classic case of one guy's bigger, but one guy actually has training. Oh, let's see what happens.
Either
That's what
way,
UFC started with, basically.
You can't lose if you watch this, because you probably dislike one of them. Who likes Mark Zuckerberg? Did you watch The Social Network? That's a fictional representation of him. He seemed like a total douche in that. And Elon Musk seems like a douche. We don't like either of these people.
Yeah, I was
going
to say, most people don't like either of them.
Right.
Both of them.
Remember all the people that were so excited when Elon Musk took over Twitter, and then it's been sort of just as disappointing as it was before.
Yeah,
and,
but
except
I can
for
buy,
now, you have to pay for it now.
I could buy a verification.
You can
That's
do that
great for me.
You could buy a blue
now
check.
Now I can tweet 5 paragraphs about the Rockets draft.
Ooh, yeah. It was great. We didn't talk about that, by the way. Two notes. We brought this up last week. Amen Thompson, and apparently the pronunciation is Amen, not Amen. Which is interesting because I was at a church that was pronouncing amen, amen, which I'm like, shut up, heathens, you're wrong. Just because King Henry wanted a male child and created the Anglican Church is no reason for you to butcher the pronunciation of amen. Catholic here. Recovering? Yes. Anyway, back to this. Amen Thompson is the most athletic player ever per one scout and is the next LeBron James per another. So got that guy at number 4, steal.
Yeah, that is a steal.
We'll isolate that clip, and if he ends up being the next LeBron James, I said it first. I said it first.
Well, you said it second to the anonymous scout.
But he was anonymous. I put my name
on it. Oh, yeah, yeah, true.
The other guy, Cam Whitmore, and we'll talk about what these guys had to say at their press conference yesterday. Cam Whitmore, Is he alive? He is. That was nice to see because I was like, how the hell did that guy fall out of the top 10? Everyone thought he was going to go eighth at latest. Not like he was going to be top three or something like that, but yeah, it's a nice little draft they put together. So pretty happy with what the Rockets did. So Rafael Stone continuing to win me back slowly. Might not get James Harden either. That's what things are. That's what's being said on the streets, the internet streets. He seems like he is going to go back to Philadelphia. So would you watch Elon Musk versus Mark Zuckerberg? Yeah, I think you would. I'd pay for that. I'd pay full price. I'd watch that at home because I think there's a very good chance that if you don't watch it at home, if you're watching it out and about, you'll look down and the fight might be over in 5 seconds. It might be the shortest fight ever.
When you say you'll pay full price, like, do you mean like $70? You'll pay or $80?
Yeah, I think so. Write it off of my taxes.
Oh, true.
Business true. Expense. Yeah.
Yeah. You have to pay for that fight in order to do your job.
Yeah, I do. I have to. Just like I have to pay for Fubo TV, which is outrageous. I would go off the grid. And I'm saying it here, so if the IRS ever checks, I would go off the grid if I wasn't doing sports talk radio. I'd live in a cabin. Wouldn't pay for electricity. Wouldn't pay for cable. Wouldn't pay for a phone. Nope. Wouldn't do any of those things. So that's why you claim them on your taxes. Anyway, Paul Galancho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 here for H&R Block. Just kidding. Coming up next, we go around the National Football League. One of the biggest disappointments in recent NFL history became even more of a disappointment. He's been canceled. Why? You'll find out next and some other NFL stories. Stick around.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Set, hush.
Tackling the biggest issues in the NFL.
This just in.
Here's the 10-minute drill with Paul Gallant.
Football time.
Quickly, though, on last segment, heated debate on the Twitch right now as to who would win between Elon and Mark Zuckerberg. I think that is proof that a lot of you would watch it. I think it's proof. Some are saying that Elon would be the favorite because of his size. I'm sorry. One of these guys has training in jiu-jitsu, even if he's smaller, and the other guy doesn't look like he takes the stairs often. It's not meant as a slight. I just think that the person with mixed martial art training would probably be the favorite in a fight between two billionaires. Just a thought. I could be wrong, but I am curious about what's going to go down. It is June, so that's really the only reason that we would be talking about a guy who's not even in the NFL right now. But Carson Wentz, one time a second overall pick, one time the lock to be the MVP in 2017 before he suffered a season-ending injury against the LA Rams. Nick Foles takes over and leads the Eagles to their first ever Super Bowl. Carson Wentz is in hot water because he killed a black bear in Alaska and he took a picture of it. Now, from the looks of things, he killed it with a bow and arrow. So at the very least, we're not talking about a guy like shooting a bear with a gun or something like that. I'm a big believer that if you hunt big game like this, like a true predator, that you should have to kill it with some sort of hand-to-hand combat. Like the thing I will allow is if you chuck a spear at the bear and kill it with that, I will allow that. But I feel like any man-made machines versus an apex predator, you shouldn't be allowed. If you're going to do it, fine. If you're doing it in self-defense, fine. But you shouldn't be able to post it on social media unless you killed that thing the old-fashioned way. Like,
yeah.
With a knife, with a sword. That's clubs. Different than a ranged weapon. Something that's not a ranged weapon, I will again allow you to throw a spear at it.
Because that looks sick.
It would look sick.
And it's...
Carson Wentz could have thrown a spear probably, too. Guy was a quarterback. What do you missed?
Yeah, I think the bear would have caught it and ran the other way. Yeah, you and seven buddies go out to Alaska or wherever with the clubs, and you chase down a black bear and beat it with clubs, the old-fashioned, the BC way.
Yeah, I would respect that.
No, I think we all would respect that.
But I don't really respect this. And yeah. Someone said, well, he tracked the bear down. He might have. He might not have. I don't know how it all went down. It's Alaska, so I'd imagine it's not as difficult to track a bear down there, I would think.
Yeah, just go outside.
They're probably not expecting any. Well, I'm just saying.
Put a pie in a windowsill. Yeah.
Jar of honey. Just put it in the middle of the field. You'll get it in 5 seconds.
Put a picnic basket down. Yeah.
But the main point is, I bet that in Alaska, there are very few things that a bear is wary of, because I doubt they have even close to a natural predator. Out in the wilderness.
They probably steer clear of moose, you know, because moose can probably mess them up.
Yeah, but see, that should be the undercard for Elon Musk versus Mark Zuckerberg. Moose versus a bear.
I've long thought that I get the moral quandaries, but yes. But like Animal Planet, when they show like animal fights, that's the best stuff on TV.
If we give the moose meth, cocaine, and same thing with the bear, cocaine bear too. It fought a moose. I'd watch that. But look, people are canceling Carson Wentz for this. If he had done this in like some sort of hand-to-hand style, I would respect him for it. But it's a bow and arrow. I'm not saying I think he's a coward. Clearly, he had to work hard to get it. And this is not me being all pro hunting and stuff. But I feel like had he taken a picture after having beaten a bear with a club. Or an axe,
just
or
a hatchet. Bloody hatchet.
Yeah, or something like that. I would just be more impressed by what he did.
Also, it seems like he, like, and Carson Wentz has posted hunting pictures before with, like a million dead ducks.
Yeah. Ducks taste good. Good for him.
Yeah, and I trust that he is, like, actually hunting. He isn't, like, the rich folks that go to like
people.
Yeah, go to like Africa with like and hunt lions like with like a safari where it's like basically that scene from House of the Dragon where they like they have a whole bunch of actual hunters like hold the lion down and he just kills them.
That is messed up. Yes, I think hunting big game jungle cats, again, you should not be allowed to use ranged weapons. You should not.
No,
it should only be like clubs, swords, machetes, axes, or something like that.
And then. Asterisks or spears.
Right.
Only ranged weapon allowed.
As you guys can tell, we are not hunting guys, but we're not anti-hunting guys either. We're just talking about what would be the most entertaining battle and the most fair battle, like from a sports perspective, between a human and a bear, and guns out. Bow and arrow is like basically a gun.
I think crossbow is more gun adjacent. And that is definitely out.
Good point.
But bow and arrow, you could talk me into it. But
you could also talk me into it as well. I mean, it takes skill, I would imagine,
yeah.
To draw the bow back, to actually hit the bear. I'm assuming that you don't want to hit it that many times because you don't want the thing to suffer. I think hunters have, there's a code.
Yeah.
Good hunters have a code, like poachers are douches, but good hunters have a code. Do you think he ate the bear heart?
Absolutely not.
You don't think Carson Wentz would do that?
I think that's on the banned substance list for the NFL. Oh. Too much testosterone. His test comes back and he's like, hey, I had Alaskan bear, all right? Sorry. Tainted bear.
Have you ever had bear?
No.
I actually have had bear.
Wow.
It was very, very fatty, and it did not go down well. But it tasted good. I had ground bear. We had bear burgers. This is my... people from Maine that I used to go to Patriots games and tailgate with. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's
Maine
a very people. Maine thing to do.
Maine people are crazy. They're great. I love them. Possible cannibals? Some of them. It's a lot like West Virginia and Kentucky.
I was going to say, it's Northeast Appalachia.
Oh, yeah. It's deliverance. It's just like that. Anyway, that's around the NFL, guys. We talked about Carson Wentz killing a bear. Coming up next.
June, folks.
Do sports have a drinking epidemic? They might, based off of what we saw go down in last night's College World Series Championship. Stick around.
It's that time to resume our daily privilege of listening to the Paul Gallant Show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paulie G.
There it is! since 2009 and seventh overall, the Tigers can say we are champions.
Congratulations to LSU. I love LSU fans. They're just fun. I don't know if it's a Louisiana thing, but they get down. Sportsman is paradise. People from Louisiana like to throw them back. I'm not calling the state a bunch of alcoholics. I wouldn't do that. Our friends are not that far away from us over to the east. All I know is that pound for pound, I would say among states in the United States, Louisiana's not the biggest population, has the highest percentage of fun people. Was its College World Series fun? Eh. Not really competitive games. But there are a lot of games before it because there's double elimination and a round robin. And I'm sorry, the College World Series, it just confuses me. The road to Omaha doesn't make any sense. It feels like there's a lot of detours, U-turns, roundabouts. It's like driving through Massachusetts. All the roads are winding, don't make any sense, and all of them are named Washington Street for whatever reason. But they're different Washington Streets. Makes zero sense. But after losing 24-4 in Game 2, LSU wins 18-4 in Game 3. Does college baseball need a mercy rule? Do we need to get rid of aluminum bats? I don't know. But there is a problem. I came out of the game. We've gone too far as a society in allowing this to go down. There's a place in Omaha called Rocco's Pizza. They hold a Jell-O shot competition. Every $5 shot goes to the team's local food banks. And this year, Rocco's sold more than 90,000. LSU fans bought at least 64,808 of them. Compared to, and good for TCU, 8,067 from TCU. Making the great state of Texas look good. Wake Forest, 7,622. I'm surprised. Wake Forest strikes me as a nerdy institution. After that, you had Florida with 3,992. That's it, Florida? I'm embarrassed.
And they made the final, too. So they had the most time.
I'm embarrassed by that number. They must have found another bar.
Or they just hate food banks.
Well, that, too. That could be it, too. After that, Oral Roberts, an actual school, 3,203. I only know of them because they occasionally make the NCAA tournament, and I also know that they are not a toothpaste, even though they sound like a toothpaste.
I think people ordered shots in the name of Oral Roberts because it's a fun name. I honestly like...
Why is that, Sean?
Because it's a fun name.
Okay. After that, Tennessee, 2,205 shots. Also, disappointed in Tennessee. I think Tennessee could have done better. And again, I don't know how long they were there, but it feels like Tennessee only having that many is low. After that, hey, Stanford didn't come in last. 918. Virginia had 866 for dead last, which is also pretty disappointing. But there you go. But it's a shame, guys. Because college baseball is promoting binge drinking. And guys, I was just at a wedding in D.C. this weekend, and guess what? I am going sober. How long? Probably like a week. But hey, I think that we have a problem in our society. We are clearly having too much fun. You know, the economy's in the toilet, and there's all sorts of things that we need to fix around us. And here we are, watching the College World Series and getting pissed drunk. And it's not Louisiana's fault. They can't help it. They're just fun people. Right? 64,808 shots. It's to be expected. But things have gone too far, and sports are glorifying binge drinking. I don't know if this is a real story, because it was denied by Julian Edelman. And on top of that, it happened on the show Primetime with Alex Stein. If you've listened to the show before, you know that I believe him to be a non-talent hack. But per Former Patriots defensive end Jake Bickett, who I have never heard of and I'm a diehard Patriots fan. Rob Gronkowski had 24/7 access to the Patriots facility. He would go all night with his boys in Boston, stay up till 3 or 4 in the morning, stagger to the Patriots locker room, key fob in, and go pass out on the training tables of the Patriots locker room. An hour or two later, when the trainers would come in to start the workday, they'd come in there and see Gronk just sprawled out on the training table, fast asleep. They'd go over there. They wouldn't wake him up. They would roll up one of his sleeves and, you know, stick an IV in his arm. After a couple of hours, he would wake up like Frankenstein revived and go out there and just kick ass. I want to believe this story so badly. Julian Edelman denied it. I don't think Jake Bickett would know, but I want that story to be true. Would that not add another level to Rob Gronkowski being the best tight end of all time? And I'm very passionate about this one. Like all those Kelce people, Kelce even admitted on an interview with Part of My Take that he's not as physical as he probably could be. He said he's very hard on himself for that. I agree. Rob Gronkowski blocked. Rob Gronkowski partied. Rob Gronkowski smashed. But at the same time, we're glorifying binge drinking. This is a problem. Sports need to get away. Patrick Mahomes is involved in an alcohol ad? I don't even know which one. And I know that they did it super subtle so that Patrick wouldn't get in any trouble. I think he should. I'm Paul, and I'm against drinking. Don't you know this by now?
That's
why I don't have any alcohol endorsements.
I was going to say that you've turned your back on, you know, the sales team keeps bringing you opportunities to promote alcohol. You're like, nope, not me. Send that to Jake.
Yeah. Jake, not only does he search himself on Twitter, Jake also, massive problem. Bush Mills. Remember the time, Sean, that we saw the Bush Mills bottle underneath the table? Wonder who that was from. It could have been from anybody.
On the weekend show, there's always just, you know, Bushmills.
Just all over the studio.
And Allstat Brewery in the middle seat that RJ has to kick out of the way.
You gotta wonder how he makes it home from time to time.
Yeah. It is scary because he drives himself.
But no, I mean, look, like, if you've listened to that one Bushmills ad, Jake, not stealing valor as being an Irishman. Nope, that's not a lie at all. Like, Jake, he can't, just like Louisiana people, he can't help it. It's fine. It happens, okay? But anyway, hey. It's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Your boy is back from a wedding. And someone texted this in. Phrasing is key. Many would say Paulie has been hunting guys for years. Fun gay joke. We're one day back. Of course, that was going to happen in the first hour. Have you ever had friends bet on you to do something? My friends bet on me whether or not, as the only single groomsman, they bet on whether or not I would have sex this weekend. Not kidding. I'm not kidding. And I was like, can I get in on these odds?
You're the Calvin Ridley of the... But
I'm not kidding. They actually did this. And I remember thinking to myself, first off, it's kind of messed up.
A little messed up.
Second, in addition to it being messed up because they're doing that with me, it was messed up because there was a certain person that they thought it was going to happen with.
Oh, there's prop bets?
Yes. There were prop bets.
Blonde, minus 250.
And look, I like this person a lot as a friend. I do. I felt uncomfortable with the whole thing. But here's where it got really weird. Okay? So, the wedding goes down. And we're at an after party at a club in D.C. We rent out this whole room. Everyone's having a great time. I'm getting out there grooving. And all of a sudden, someone comes in for the kill. Like I was some sort of bear being hunted by Carson Wentz. And I dodged all those kisses, had the, hey, we're just friends talk. The next day, everyone was asking, hey, what happened? And people were also, I was wasn't going to bring it up, but people were saying, oh, did you see when Paul dodged those kisses on the dance floor? And I was like, we're still talking about this. And that's when they said, yeah, a lot of people actually were gambling on whether or not you were going to have sex. And people were also telling me along the way, like, Paul, I bet you're getting laid this weekend. I don't think you have a choice in the matter. Like, I was going to get, like, assaulted. Not cool. Me too, first off. Second off, didn't happen. But I don't know really what to think about my friends. And this is why I'm thinking about sobriety. I mean, these people bet on my love.
This is like your rock bottom moment. Now it's going to be monastic Paul.
No, I think I'm just going to be a hermit now.
Yeah, you're swearing off swearing drugs off and alcohol. Women, you're swearing at men. Well, you're swearing them all off.
Yeah. A lot of people would have argued I've already done that. No, it was not a man out there. There was some flirtation with the man. He was a little handsy with me, and I was like, well, I mean, this being nice. Huh? Look, it was a fun trip. We had a lot of fun. I'll tell you about the fight I almost got in the next hour of the show. Up next, though, the Rockets had an introductory press conference for their two newest players, hopefully stars, both Amen Thompson and Cam Whitmore. We'll talk about what they had to say, and specifically listen to what Ime Udoka had to say about the Rockets. Plus, are the Astros winning the World Series this year? Because I don't think so. Stick around.